again to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to read along. Ephesians 6. I want to continue our study of the armor of God this morning. I want to thank my wife publicly for her encouragement this last week. Today we get to another article or item in the armor of God. It is mentioned in verse 17, the very first part, but I want to start with verse 13 and just read down, and I just hope that those of you that have been attending can just think about what these articles each mean as I read. Because I do think that the armor of God is cumulative, that each item builds on the next one and on the next one. And we come today to the helmet of salvation. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. That's as far as we'll get today. The helmet of salvation. Now, I want to start this sermon out by reminding you that this epistle, let's look at the very first verse, look at Ephesians 1 and 1, the very first verse, and let me remind you who this epistle is written to. By the way, that's always very important if we're going to interpret the Word of God correctly, is to know who the epistle was written to. What kind of people were they? Ephesians 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Incidentally, every Sunday, Jeannie Bowman comes in here and I say, hello, Saint Jeannie. And she just about shivers. But I've got Bible authority for calling her a saint. It doesn't mean she's perfect. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren, he didn't mean that they were perfect. He just means you're children of God, called to be saints. So he calls them saints. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that's even y'all, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So the first thing I want to say about this helmet of salvation is that it is not speaking of eternal salvation that people take. This epistle, and in fact the whole Bible, is written to children of God. Only children of God can understand it anyway. They're the only ones that have a mind that's not carnal. They're the only ones that have faith given to them in regeneration. They're the only ones that love God. The only ones that fear God. Do you realize an unregenerate person doesn't fear God at all? There's no fear of God before their eyes. That means not even a little bit. You hear me? No fear of God means not even a little bit. I love to think about that, don't you? So, Paul is writing this epistle, and he's telling these saved people, these children of God, to put on the armor of God that they can be protected in their daily lives. Do you need any of that? our children need any of it? We have some great young people here, great young people that attend our church, and I hate to say that I fear for them, but to some degree I do because of what they're exposed to. They need this armor of God just as badly as any of the rest of us, even us old geezers. So when he tells them, take the helmet of salvation, he's absolutely not telling them that they need to be eternally saved. They already are eternally saved. Everybody understand that? So what's he talking about? Well, the Bible comments upon itself. So I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and we get just a little bit more information about this helmet of salvation. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. Isn't it interesting how the Bible interprets itself? Or the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. The Bible is also the best Bible dictionary. Now, I'm going to refer to the OED here in a minute. Imagine that. So, he tells the saints at Ephesus to put on, to take the helmet of salvation. And notice here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, but let us who are of the day, be, now that of the day means children of God, let us be sober, serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now in Ephesians, he calls that the breastplate of righteousness, right? And for an helmet, what's our helmet according to 1 Thessalonians 5:8? The hope of salvation. So that's really kind of what I think he's driving at there in Ephesians and here in 1 Thessalonians, that the helmet of salvation that we are to take in the armor of God in the order that's given to us there, you know, it starts out with filling your mind with truth, living a righteous, godly life according to the breastplate of righteousness, living a righteous, godly life according to the righteousness of God's Word. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you point blank, you don't have the option to decide what's right. It's not up to you. And it's not up to me. I wish someone would tell the legislature in Virginia. Anyway, you see, God has already determined what's right. And He's the Holy One. Wouldn't you rather have the Holy One telling you what's right than some sinner? You know, I mean, really. So, we've got the mind full of truth, buckling on the breastplate of righteousness every day. Walking the gospel out into the world every day that you go, you walk the gospel out there. You got your boots on. These boots are made for walking. And you got the shield of faith, which is trusting God with the outcome. As long as you're following Him, trust Him with the outcome. Are you with me? And then he says, take this helmet, and the helmet is the hope of salvation. Now the word hope in the Bible means much more than a wish. Are you with me? Every day I look and I get in the front of the mirror to shave and I wish I don't know what to say. I've rendered myself speechless. I wish I looked like Tom Selleck or Brother Harold. Anyway, you know, I even wish I looked younger. You know, I could, you know, I wish I did, but I have no hope. Are you with me? See, the word hope means far more. Oh, listen, are you listening? It means far more than a flimsy wish. I looked it up in my handy dandy trusty Oxford English Dictionary. Listen to this. All right, the helmet that we're supposed to be putting on is the hope of salvation. Hope means to expect with desire or to desire with expectation. Whichever way you want to turn it. I love that, don't you? To expect it with desire or to desire it with expectation. In other words, you've got evidence and reason to expect this thing to happen. That's why when I get in front of the mirror, I have no hope of looking like Brad Pitt or whoever, you know. I look like Gary Harvey. It's just pathetic, but there you are. And I can wish all I want, right? I have no evidence, right? No reason. Are you with me? Okay, what's the helmet we're supposed to put on? We're supposed to put on the hope of salvation. That means the expect. Are you listening? It means your desire of it coupled with a reasonable and firm expectation of that end coming to you one day. Now, of course, automatically, that makes us wonder, okay, what is my hope? What is this expectation? What is this based on? What is it based on? That's why I said that this is cumulative. You've got the truth. You've got to fill your mind with truth. Are you with me? The truth of God's Word's got to be in your mind completely. You've got to have the truth of God's Word in there. I mean the truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about salvation. All that truth's got to be in there before this hope's going to be yours. Because you've got to come to the realization. Are you with me? You've got to come to the realization that this salvation, your home in heaven, you're being conformed to the image of Christ, you leave in this world one day, that is not in any wise dependent upon you. Not only that, it is not in any wise dependent on men. It was dependent upon and determined by the death of Christ. Are you with me? Brother Mike was telling me he read the book of Ephesians. He said it blew his mind, that first chapter. Have y'all read the first chapter of Ephesians lately? See, right there is some of the truth of God that'll help you be able to put on this helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. That is something, I'm just going to ask you, do you desire it? I mean, come on, from time to time. I don't know. For me, the longer I live, the more I am, when it's rainy and gray for about a week, I say, I'm ready to go to heaven. And I don't know what it is that, makes you think that way, you know. But don't you, from time to time at least, have a strong desire and a yearning to go on home and be with the Lord. And to bow, are you with me? To bow at the feet of your risen and resurrected and successful Lord. Don't you? Surely you do. Well, what this is saying that one of the helmet you need to put on is not just the fact that you desire that, but the actual fact and that you have evidence upon which and whereby you can even expect that. And it's not boasting in what you've done. Are you with me? This is not boasting in what you've done, because you ought to know by now, if you're dead in sins, you can't do anything anyway in order to get salvation. And you know that, don't you? You know that salvation comes to a person that's dead in sins when they have no spiritual mind. They cannot understand spiritual things. They do not have faith. They do not love God. That's the condition that they're in. And God gives them eternal life. By the way, you want to know a pretty good biblical example of that is when God turned the light on in Genesis 1:3. Remember that? What did God do? God just simply said, let there be light. And there was light. Y'all, there was no sun, no stars. There was nothing existing in the universe to produce that light. No sun, no stars, no moon. That doesn't matter to God. When God says, let there be light, there's light, whether there's anything to produce it or not. I think it's absolutely wonderful that the Lord waited to create those 3 or 4 days later. And I'm telling you right now, when the Lord came to your dark soul, and by the way, the Lord says in the book of Ephesians, ye were sometimes darkness. Not that you were in darkness, which is true, but you were darkness. You know what darkness is? An absence of light. That's what you were by nature. What did the Lord do? The Lord came by when you were darkness, and he said, I tell you what he did not say. He didn't say, hey, do you want some light? You want to know why he didn't say that? Because you were too dead to even want it. Are you with me? The Lord said, when you were darkness, let there be light in your soul. And there was light, even though there was nothing in you to produce it. Are you with me? This is scandalous grace. Scandalous! Man, you know, people have been born of God this way from the very beginning. It's the only way that people are born of God, by sovereign grace, independent of men's means. And this is why we know that all for whom Christ died will be with him in heaven in immortal glory without the loss of one. It's not dependent on what men do. Now, y'all, there are some things that are dependent on what we do. If you weren't here this morning, you would not be enjoying this service. If you weren't here, you wouldn't be enjoying it. Right? That's why Brother Joe's been out of shape. He wants to be here so bad. What an example Brother Joe has been all these years. I know you say amen to that. I'm not trying to build him up. Some things do depend on us, but your eternal home cannot, because you were dead. Now that sounds ironic that I'm telling you all this. I'm telling you all of that, which is the truth and the faith and the righteousness and all of that that kind of comes before this helmet of the hope of salvation. I'm telling you all this so that you would absolutely and truly have confidence not only, are you listening? Have confidence not only that the Lord is going to take his people to heaven, but that you're one of them. You say, well, I don't do too pretty good. Did y'all know Mike Edrington can be mean as a snake? He tells me so. I'm not trying to embarrass him. That's what he tells me. I've seen no real evidence of it. You know why he says that? He knows himself. Well, I see. It is a grand irony. It's one of the grand ironies of proper biblical interpretation. That in order to have the fullest confidence and hope and expectation of seeing God in peace, you've got to come to the realization that that salvation, eternal salvation, was not dependent upon you. To have that fullest confidence, you've got to come to the conclusion that it was not dependent upon you. It was dependent upon God, dependent upon Christ. Dependent on somebody that's dependable. This is the helmet of salvation. The hope of salvation. To desire it with an expectation, or to expect it with desire. The other thing it said was to look forward to. Hope. Is that not wonderful? Well, all right. Tell you what, let's do. Turn to Romans 8. Let's read a little dab in Romans 8 about hope. While you're turning to that, can I tell you a little story, a little sidelight here? I know a lady, and a wonderful lady. And a devout, dedicated person, does not understand the truth like we do. but dedicated to God years and years and years. And one of her children has gone astray from the way that she taught that child. And is involved in very sinful practices. Of course, does that ever happen? That happens. Children do rebel against what they've been taught. It isn't right. Young people, are you listening? Don't rebel against the truth your parents have taught you. It'll cost you if you do. It won't cost you heaven, but it'll cost you. And this woman is such a sweetheart, and she's worried sick about whether her daughter's saved or not. After her daughter being dedicated to God for years and years, has gone astray, and she's worried about whether she's saved or not. You know what she needs? The helmet of the hope of salvation. Understanding that it's not dependent upon what we do. Now let me tell you something else. I'll tell you something else that's true. If we rebel against God, and we've all done it, right? There's not a one of you that are not guilty. I love you with all of my heart. Do you hear me? With all of my heart. And you're all rebellious. We all are. I mean, I am too. But I tell you what will happen. When we rebel against God, He'll tan our hides. You ever felt any of that? And you know what I thought about that as I was thinking about this sermon this week? I was thinking about even that. Even the fact that God chastises you is one of the strongest evidences that you will see Him in heaven and immortal glory when time is no more. That's a strong evidence that God loves you and you're His and you've got a conscience working in there. That's strong evidence. And even that should be part of the helmet of the hope of salvation that you put on every day. Are you with me? God does not chastise those that He does not love. Are you with me? Have you ever wondered how people can be so evil and mean, I mean abominably evil, and never seem to have any bad feeling? Have you ever wondered? Well, there's people out there that don't have a conscience, y'all. There's people out there that are still in a pathetic shape. Are you with me? This helmet of salvation, it's just incredible. Here's what Paul said about hope. Now, I'm in Romans 8, verse 24. Those of you Bible readers knew where I was going before I got there. I guarantee you, Brother Harold's been sitting there waiting on me to read this. For we are saved by hope. Okay, now let's think about that for a minute. Is my having hope, my expectation, is that the thing that got me eternally saved? No. The hope that I have, my desire with expectation, is not what got me eternally saved. What being eternally saved is what allows me to one day come to this position of having hope in God. But I am nevertheless, according to God's word right here, saved by hope. Hope does save me in some way or other, doesn't it? And I'll tell you what it saves you from. Well, okay, let me read a little bit more. For we are saved by hope. And of course, the verse up above is speaking of our hope of the resurrection. By the way, do y'all believe the Lord's going to resurrect the dead one day? Do y'all believe that? Do y'all really believe it? That the day is coming when the Lord's going to raise the dead? Well, you've just put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. You know that day's coming. You've got strong evidence to believe it, don't you? All kinds of evidence to have complete confidence in the fact that the Lord's coming to get us and take us out of here. Hallelujah. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Now that's interesting. In other words, if I've got it, whatever it is I'm hoping for, if I've got it, then I'm no longer hoping it. That is, I'm no longer expecting it with desire or desiring it with expectation. If I'm in possession of it, I'm no longer hoping for it. Amen? So the very fact that we're hoping for it says we're not yet in the fullest possession of it. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Listen to me. When you get to heaven, you won't be hoping for heaven. Are you with me? My mind will wrap around that. I cannot imagine not hoping to go to heaven. Can you? But if we hope for that we see not, I love this, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I love that. So if you hope for something, you're waiting for it, expecting it, desiring it, and not only so, we are to be doing this with patience. Now, I get a little impatient at times, don't you? I want the Lord to come get me. I say, Lord, come. Lord, put an end to this mess. You ever say anything like that? If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Are you with me? And the way that you can with patience wait for it and expect it and have the fullest confidence in it is to know that it was completely bought and paid for. I mean, it's a done deal, wrapped up by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible is explicitly clear that He will not lose any of His sheep. Why do people go around talking about Jesus losing His sheep then? I do not know the answer to that. But I will tell you this. If I believe that, I do not have on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Does that mean they're not children of God? 1,000 times no. Are you with me? Are you with me? The helmet of salvation will save you. Now, it saves people that it saves. The helmet of salvation is for saved people. Eternally saved people can be saved by putting on the helmet of salvation. Are you with me? And that's what I'm talking to you about this morning. I want every last one of you to go out of here more confident than you've ever been in your life that you are a child of God. Paul even said he loved me and gave himself for me in the Galatian letter. Well, you say I'm not worthy of that. Of course you're not. I couldn't do anything to earn it. Of course you couldn't. All of that is irrelevant. If you were in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, it's yours. Are you with me? Isn't that just marvelous? This helmet of salvation will save you. It'll save you from doubt about your own eternal destiny. Now, I can give you a couple of little litmus tests here. Would you like me to do that? One, do you love God? Do you love God? If so, according to God's word, you are a child of God, because those that are not children of God do not love God. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. All right, let me ask you another one. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Do you recognize He's bigger and better, and I start to say badder, than you? Do you? If you fear God, you are a child of God, because the scriptures say that those that are unregenerate have no fear of God. Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith that God's going to do what's right? Do you have faith that God's going to fix this thing just like it needs to be fixed? Do you have total faith and confidence that God's going to do what's right and everything's going to work out right in the end? Do you have that faith? If you do, you are a child of God. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? Do you hate sin? Is there any part of you that hates sin? Even your own? Is there any part of you that hates sin? If so, I tell you, on the authority of God's word, you are a child of God. Not based upon what you did. That goes without saying, but that's also irrelevant. Because it's because of what Christ has done to and for you when you could do nothing for yourself. Are you with me? This is the helmet of the hope of salvation. And I know what the gainsayers, the naysayers, they would say, oh, now wait a minute, you don't need to talk about that because that's going to encourage people to live in sin. I deny that. What I'm telling you is the strongest, most powerful motive to live a godly, morally upright life is what I'm telling you is the most telling you that what you've got to live this life to escape hell won't do you a bit of good. By the way, that's more free will than you can stand. Are you with me? Most of us can't hardly stand the free will God has given us. You with me? This helmet of the hope of salvation will save you from doubt about your own eternal destiny. See, it's not dependent on what you've done. In fact, your eternal destiny is in spite of what you have done and in spite of what I have done. It's about Christ. It's all about Christ and what He has done. It's not even about your good works after you're born again. It's about Christ's good works that He lived His entire life. This is why we could say in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Are you with me? I want you to put this helmet on. I want you to leave here today confident you're going to be with God in heaven. Now you may have a doubt by tonight at supper time. That's the nature of the beast. This helmet of the hope of salvation will also save you from doubt about the eternal destiny of other people. Because you'll know that their eternal destiny is not dependent upon what they do either. And it's not dependent upon what you do. And it's not dependent upon what the preachers do or what churches do or don't do. It's dependent upon Christ. You can look at your own children and see in them the fruit of the Spirit. Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation concerning your own children. In fact, that's the only way you'll ever have a true, full confidence about the eternal destiny of your own children, is to trust in this. Not in what they do, because they might rebel. They might go nuts. How do I know that? Well, I were one. Yeah, that was an incorrect verb for comic effect. I was one. Were any of y'all one? Brother Jimmy's raising his hand. You don't have to raise your hand, but tell what else this helmet of salvation, this helmet of the hope of salvation, it'll do. It'll save you from worrying about all the contingencies. I'm going to use that word. All the possibilities. All the things that might happen. All the stuff. That might happen. The what ifs. It'll save you from the what ifs with reference to eternal salvation. You see, when it comes to eternal salvation, are you listening? There are no what ifs. Now there's a lot of what ifs about whether we're going to have abundant life that Christ said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. A lot of what ifs about that. I'm just going to boldly say, there are people that ought to be coming to Point Remove Church and their life would be better. But because they refuse to do it or make excuses or whatever, they're losing out. I'm talking about God's children. This truth, this helmet of salvation, dissolves all those doubts. You see what I'm talking about? People should not come to a gospel sermon and leave sure that they're never going to make it because they can't be good enough. I mean to heaven. Now, it's an absolute and calcified fact that you can't be good enough. But it's not based on that anyway. Are you with me? Now, all of us ought to want to do better. Amen? I want to do better. Problem is, my flesh don't want to do better. Y'all got that dilemma? By the way, if you have faced that dilemma, if you have that same dilemma, I'm telling you, you're a child of God. You ought to have the hope of salvation, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, and trust God that where you're going to be when time is no more, and look forward to it. Look forward to it. Anticipate it. Think about all the stuff that won't be there. Let me list a few. Cell phones. Facebook. I almost said fake book. Oops. Schedules. Doubts. Disappointments. I thank you for your good attention with all my heart. Let's sing a hymn. The helmet of the hope of salvation. Expect it. You have all the evidence in the world to expect to see God when this life is over. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ, join the church.